just turning up the guitar. Plug it into headphones. All right. We've started the show now. It's 5:11 in the morning, and Nick's here. Hi, buddy.
How you doing, man?
Doing fine, doing fine. Another big win last night by our Blackhawks.
I would like to tell the Blackhawks there are actually three periods of hockey in a game, not two.
Yeah. Well, you can't go the entire season winning shootouts.
No.
Because you're only going to be a point up each time.
Yeah. That game had no business going into the shootout. But I mean, they won. I'm not going to complain. They got 2 points. And that's great.
My boy Bickle scored again.
He did. What a rocket that guy's got. Yeah. His wristers are harder than most people's slap shots.
Yeah, unless you're Bobby Hull.
Well, that's true. I'm saying current.
Yes.
Current players.
Well, Bobby Hull now. Bobby Hull now. Bobby Hull. Dave Van Hull's Bobby Hull. 70?
At least.
Yeah.
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 No, I don't mean physically. I don't mean like the actual age of what the damage he's done to his body.
He's in his 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, yeah. Yeah,
I still maintain he could shoot a puck through a garage door.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if we ever talked about this on air, but it's I've been lucky enough a couple times to watch games with him and sit with him in games.
Yep.
And you just get him cranked up, and there's nothing more.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Let me tell you something, Stevie. Here's how you shoot a slap shot. You got to get compression.
You know, it's like Vince Lombardi with a hockey stick.
It's hilarious watching the games with those guys. I've been lucky enough to sit in the box with the Ambassadors too. And I remember, I think I've told you this, Steve, that I one time I was walking back to get a beer inside the box. And I went in and I got a beer, and Bobby was standing outside, at the counter there, watching the game. And I went in when the whistle blew, got a beer. I walk out, and Bobby goes, "Hey, how many beers do you have during a game?" I go, "I don't know, 4 or 5. He goes, "A period." Now, I just love the fact that Bobby Hull was questioning my drinking.
But
Bobby
he wasn't judging you.
No, though. No. I think I don't know. I think,
you know, a lot of people don't know this. Bobby, for the first time maybe in forever, is listening to his doctors, and he's probably as healthy as he's been in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's drinking at all. He's certainly not drinking like he used to. Well, he couldn't. But I love Bobby. And,
yeah,
you know,
he's amazing.
For everybody, and here's what happens. Every time we have a discussion about Bobby, people start texting in about his personal life back in the day. I wasn't around in Bobby Hull's personal life in the 70s. That's between him and others.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, as a fan, I appreciate the talent and the and with all the Ambassadors. Being able to be around him is just one of the many great moves the Hawks made. You juxtapose that against the fact that the World Series starts tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, we're not in.
What, we're not?
No, we're not in.
Oh, man, I got my DVR set and everything.
Yeah. And you got kids on this team. I've got friends from Minnesota, big hockey family. And Nick Leddy basically grew up in their house. Nick Leddy's best friend is their kid who's going to play for the Islanders soon. Playing in the AHL now, which is like the triple A for hockey. And you've got two or three guys on this team who are first or second year guys who have already won a cup. Then you look at the list, and Dave, I'll break this list out later in the show. There's a list that I think Bleacher Report did of 15 great players who never played in the World Series, and 8 or 9 of them are either White Sox or Cubs.
Yeah, that's not a shocker. That's not a shocker. Hey, you know what? I'm excited. I will say this. I'm excited for Demp. I got to say that. I am.
Yeah.
I really am. Great guy. And I want always.
And by the way, maybe one of the least annoying beards on that team. He doesn't look like he just walked off the set of
Duck Dynasty. Well, he's had one. He's used to it.
He
didn't
just
break it in because it was trendy.
Yeah. Yeah. Dustin Pedroia looks like a kid going out for Halloween whose mom put a beard on him. All right, quick hi to Phil. Our friend Phil is the mental patient who did the criminal sketches of you and I about a month ago.
Yeah.
And
had the to-do list that included wallet.
I forgot that part. Yeah. That's right. And it took him a month to respond to our all call to make sure he was okay. Let me just read the note you gave to me. Nick, thanks for reading my card from a few weeks ago on the air. I was listening to you guys. I couldn't stop laughing. Keep up the great work. That's it? What about the wallet?
Took him 3.5 weeks.
Where's the wallet information?
Dry cat food and beer from Shell.
And wallet. My to-do list is wallet. I need an explanation. All right, now you have Phil's email there.
I do. I'm gonna get him.
Let's
get him
an answer.
I will. We'll get. No, trust me. We're just scratching the surface now.
We're short of an invite in. Not without security, but let's at least get an answer.
He can stand out here.
I don't know.
You don't even want him close.
I'm not sure we're there yet.
The windows aren't bulletproof, right? They're resistant.
Resistant.
That's right.
That's right. All right, 517. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Orion's coming up. We'll check business in a little bit. Or Steve Alexander's in for O today. That's right. And, oh, boy. I mean, the ombudsman from the programs here. That's going to be tough on
me.
That's not true. Well, it is true. He is here. And then later on, CNET on the new iPad, which actually looks pretty cool. I think it's thinner than a sheet of paper now. So I'm not quite sure how far we can go with that. Paul Coit later, and we will have Andrea and Marion and Johnsos decide what the sexiest accent on a man is. There's a survey out yesterday, and I'm bringing in my English monkey, Paul Coit, to be a part of that.
Chicago accent.
We don't get a vote?
No. Well, you could vote. Sure, Dave. Yeah, Dave
does. Yeah, he's in.
Just seems exclusive.
Yeah, no, you can vote.
Feminine side.
And then later, I understand we will have someone on from the Snuggle House in Wisconsin.
You good? You because you like that story?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. Well, you Andre and I will be spooning through most of the program this morning. Sometimes you get tangled up in the mic cords. It's a whole thing. I also should mention our friend Randy Balsamo from Channel 9, who Ann Johnsos used to, Ann Johnsos was her teacher. She was in grad school at Northwestern when Johnsos was a professor right out of the gate. Johnsos, I think, was 16 or 17 at the time. She's a genius. And Randy was in grad school and, of course, doing a great job over at Channel 9. But anyway, she's got a new company of sorts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she started a not-for-profit organization. It's fantastic, and we'll, obviously she'll be here to explain it. They have a big event coming up this weekend and helps those to deal with the sudden loss of a loved one.
And of course, she knows all about that. Yep. It was a terrible story. She lost her husband.
Yeah, Carlos. Great reporter, by the way.
And the accent thing I mentioned coming up later on, Dean Richards and I will continue to discuss show business because that's what we do. Oh, and congratulations, Steve. Let me get Steve Alexander in here. Steve, I don't know if you heard.
What?
Well, Prince George is going to be christened.
Oh, really?
The royal baby. Oh, the royal baby! That's my queen impression. What do you think? You like it?
I thought she was here for a moment.
I'm kind of channeling her. The royal baby will be christened, and the godparents have been chosen, and it's kind of unexpected. It's Kim and Kanye.
Really?
Yes. Mm. So that's a real shock.
Well, that's not true.
Thought we'd start out early. 522, what's your big business headline?
Stocks had a big day yesterday. The S&P 500 hit a new high, broke good through 1750. Not because happy days are here again, though. Traders are hitting the buy button because of more evidence that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to support the economy at its current pace of $85 billion a month. The September jobs report came in lukewarm, and that led to the speculation that the Fed QE will continue at that rate. Volatility, though, is just a report or two away. One analyst with STA Wealth Management said, we are 100% in the market right now, but we are having a very itchy trigger finger at this point, and we are ready to get out if that happens.
Volatility stocks, where you can actually bet on the shakiness of the market.
The VIX.
Mm-hmm. Is that a good play? It just seems to me like you got to be a drinker like Enid to be somebody that would jump into that.
Why?
Well, you have to have a lot of money, probably money that isn't yours to play with.
And high risk, high reward kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Right, what else?
It's not for the meat.
It's not for the faint of wallet.
No, not at all.
Okay.
The Dow finished up to 75 points, begins the day at 15,467. The Nasdaq will start out today at 39.29. NASDAQ hit a five-day rally for both the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, but the NASDAQ hit a 13-year high yesterday, and as I said, the S&P broke through 1750. Ending at 1754, and the first time that it's been through 1750. Apple finished slightly lower in volatile trading yesterday after its new iPad, its full-sized iPad called the iPad Air, and the iPad Mini were unveiled just in time for your holiday shopping pleasure. And it also said it's got a new version of its computer operating system, the Mavericks, that's going to be available to existing customers to download free and immediately. Trying to steal some of Apple's core business, Nokia showed off its first ever tablet, the Lumia 2520. That was just hours ahead of Apple's media event, and Microsoft began selling its new Surface 2 tablet in the U.S. Early yesterday morning.
By the way, that is a very well reviewed. I'll bring it up to the CNET reporter that we have on later. But the Surface 2 is considered the best tablet that Microsoft has done so far. You would hope generationally they would improve each time, but maybe a legitimate threat to take a piece out of the iPad game.
There's a lot to chip away at there. Apple's got such a huge lead. But
they do have a big lead.
And Apple fired back at Microsoft with by giving away its apps that are the equivalent of MS Office that had been charging $10 each for, but now Apple is just giving those away.
I don't know how they can afford to do that.
I don't know either.
It's unbelievable. Hey, what about the farms today?
Farms, we've got some nice weather coming up this weekend, back into the 50s across the soybean and corn belt, and we expect to have that harvest continue full speed ahead. And anecdotally, the harvest has been better than expected, with the yields of corn and soybeans really quite positive. I say anecdotally because the government has not been able to come out with its reports over the last couple of weeks because of that shutdown. But the markets right now, we've got soybeans, corn, and wheat all trading higher. Wheat's up about nickel. Corn is up about 4 cents, and soybeans trading about 6 cents higher. Stock futures are pointing lower at the moment. Dow futures down about 70 points. The NASDAQ futures down 20. S&P down about 10.
That's Steve Alexander, and Steve will be on all morning, but also at 8:31, maybe a second or two before, I'll have the opening market numbers before anybody else because he knows people.
Now the Steve Cochran Show continues, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. 720.
WGN.
At the dawn of the day of another World Series that we're not in. Coming up, a list of the greatest players of all time never to appear in a World Series. It's not going to make you feel better. It's just rather amazing if you love baseball like I do, and Dave and everybody. Our state of stupid, my state of stupid, again, I'm trying to get one of the Dakotas annexed to just be an internment camp for stupid people. And these guys from Utah that knocked over the 150-million-year-old rock formation are definitely going in. But I was trying to find the piece of the story, and Ann brought it in, about why this guy is over the top stupid. Glenn Taylor, he was one of the three idiots that pushed the rock over. He is involved in a personal injury lawsuit that was about to be settled, apparently in his favor, and the settlement hasn't come down yet.
Not anymore.
He claimed he suffered, quote, serious, permanent, and debilitating injuries from a four-year-old car crash. Now there's video of him shoving a giant rock over.
That's great.
Oh, that hurts.
Come on.
His defense, by the way, when CNN asked him about it was, well, you don't know how hard I pushed.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with people?
That fantastic? And you may remember there was a phantom Twitter account that's been mocking and stalking not just White House officials, but government officials for a while. Mystery Twitter guy has been outed. He's a government official named Jofi Joseph, J-O-F-I. I assume it's Jofi. He's 40 years old. 40, not 20, 40. He's 40 years old, been fired from his job at the NSC. He's on the National Security Council Nuclear Nonproliferation Team. He had posted under the Twitter name at NatSecWonk. He apologized for inappropriate and mean-spirited comments. Among his gutless anonymous tweets was Uma Abedin. This is Carlos Danger's wife.
Wiener's wife. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was Uma Abedin wearing beer goggles the night she met Anthony Weiner? Well,
that might have been true.
Yeah, but, you know, but put your name on it.
Right? Oh, I agree. Yeah. Right? You want to say something? Put your name on it. Don't hide behind names.
He tweeted that Hillary Clinton had few policy goals and no wins. He mocked Chelsea Clinton. And it just goes on and on. I mean, a lot of it's inside. But, again, you're 40 years old, dude. 40.
And the scary thing, too, is all the jobs that he held within the government, too. Work at the State Department. Work on
high-end
Capitol
stuff.
Hill. Yeah.
High-end stuff. You know, that's the good thing about the fools in Congress. They're all publicly identified because as soon as a light comes on, it's like a bug light. They run across the street and across traffic thinking it's a TV camera so they can talk again. We know where they are. But the people who hide behind anonymous internet comments or tweets or anonymous, can you post anonymously on Facebook? You can.
You can create a fake account. Yeah, you can't just.
But Twitter, you can hide pretty easily on Twitter.
Yeah, you can definitely hide easier on Twitter than Facebook.
So, anyway, we're putting Jofi Joseph in the state of stupid as well. So, congratulations to Jofi, as that list is apparently going to expand.
So, will we still
pretty
call
quickly.
Them the Dakotas or just
Dakota?
That just Dakota. They'll be or
Dakota.
The Dakota.
I like Dakota.
Dakota.
Okay. Yeah. Where do you live? Dakota.
Okay, it makes sense, right?
Where are we going? Dakota. And if you know, when the cool people would just go, I'm from Coda. And then whatever land we annex for the stupid camp, that would be part of what was either North or South Dakota. I want to say, you know, honestly, I want to say we're taking part of South Dakota. There's some interesting things in North Dakota.
Yeah, but they have Mount Rushmore.
South Dakota.
Yeah, yeah, South Dakota, maybe, I think, has more.
Well, maybe take a little of both. Like, we cut out a little of both,
we'll
to be fair.
Put it in the middle. Maybe because that way they wouldn't say, oh, I live up north.
You mean like Lake Okeechobee in Florida, where they're just right in the middle? You got that lake for no reason?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, stupid camp in what used to be South and North Dakota. We're going to try to open that by the end of the year.
And can people enroll in stupid camp?
Oh, no, you'd be nominated.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Be nominated. It'd be a clearance sort of procedure where I would judge. Okay. I go, yeah, that's an idiot. Put them in there. Because really, I don't think we need to bog this down with a lot of red tape and appeal process. You know, just on this show. Just if I think you're stupid, you're going to stupid camp. And by the way, the only way you get out is you're not stupid anymore. That test will be very extensive.
Right.
Once you're in, you're going to be in for a while. The test to get out, not so easy.
It's not just a summer camp.
No.
It's a permanent camp.
No.
That's a big responsibility.
And you would pay your own way, right? Because you're stupid.
That's exactly right. It's a very good point, Dave. You would pay your own way to get there, and you would probably pay for the enjoyment of being there.
And it should be a boot camp.
Yeah, well, boots sold separately. We'd sell those at high prices.
No boots for stupid people.
Yeah. But, you know, paddle ball, and then part of the activities during the day is we get everybody in a circle to do this. You know, just keep them busy so they don't tweet stupid things or knock over 150-million-year-old rock formations and blame other people.
I was going to say you should disperse them to different parts of the country and they can pick up trash and plastic bags that are stuck in trees all over the
adopt
over the
a highway kind of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but then we're letting them out again.
I know.
I like to keep them centralized. Legal genius Karen Conti on the show next hour. Karen Conti, of course, on Sunday nights, answers all of your legal questions. And puts up with your nonsense about it's not me, it's my cousin. I didn't do it, they did it. I'm just trying to help them. You know, it's like going to the dentist and saying, oh, yeah, I flossed. She knows it's you.
It doesn't work.
So, but we'll throw out the texter line here because she'll be on at 6:40. And we'll keep her on for an extra segment. We'll grab a couple phone calls then if we can. But in the meantime, if you want to text in a legal question, we'll get an answer to the best of our ability. While she's on the air. All right, Andre, you've traveled a bunch.
I have. Love to travel.
And I don't know about you, but since his show starts relatively early at, what time, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, sleep has become more important than ever. It's only show number 37, and there's nothing more tedious than a bunch of people who get up early to be smartasses on the radio than to whine about being up at this hour because people actually have real jobs. But sleep sort of becomes a focus, right?
It absolutely. My
God. As opposed to just something you do at the end of the day.
Right. Sometimes we do it in the middle of the day or so during the show.
So I started thinking about stuff because I got a couple of trips I need to make, and I don't sleep well on airplanes.
Oh, you need to take a little.
And
something on the plane.
I don't know that I've ever taken a nap in an airport. I remember many years ago, there was a Japanese airport that started these sleeping pods.
Yeah.
Where you could slide into these like these tubes, if you will, and you could sleep in there. Of course, then you would have to go with the idea that they've been cleaned.
Yeah.
Every 15 minutes.
I've never slept on an airport cot.
But
or a pod, for that matter.
You've seen them though.
I have seen those, especially in Europe.
Well, there's a list out: best airports for sleeping, worst airports for sleeping, and there's not a single American airport on either side of this.
Well, they don't really have. I mean, aside from when they bring out the cots at O'Hare or Midway.
Yeah, when there's a weather situation.
Right, there's not really an area where you can sleep.
And the best, of course, is when you are stuck at the airport. I remember being stuck at Midway. I'm talking about the old Midway.
Oh,
before the changes.
Before across the street.
For like 14 hours.
Yeah.
When all you could do is sit in the hallway like a prisoner waiting to be processed.
Why didn't you just go home?
Yeah.
Because every 10 minutes we were told, don't go home, Steve. The plane could start at any time.
Yeah, that's a gimmick. When it's delayed four times, it's canceled.
All right, so tell me of these airports.
Okay.
Have you been to Germany, Frankfurt?
Yes.
Take a nap in Frankfurt?
No.
Okay.
Munich?
By the way, I would nap with you in any of these airports. I just want that on the record.
Oh, good. Okay.
What was that?
Number 9, Vancouver.
I've not napped in Vancouver.
But you've been to Vancouver.
I have.
Vancouver's beautiful. The people suck and the Canucks are horrible.
Yes, they are.
but it's a beautiful city. You wouldn't want to nap once you get to Vancouver.
No.
How about Kuala Lumpur?
No, I've never been there.
Zurich.
Yeah, Zurich's beautiful. I would sleep there. I'd sleep on the streets in Zurich.
You?
I would. It's beautiful. It's
knowing
clean.
Some of the friends you travel with, you may have.
I probably have.
Munich?
Yeah, I've been to Munich. Munich's very dark.
Did you nap in Munich in the airport?
I went for the Oktoberfest, so I might have. I don't quite remember a lot of that trip. I was young.
There's no explanation about the ranking of this list. Did any of these airports ring a bell? Like, yeah, they had big cushy chairs or something?
No, but some airports do stand out. The one in Amsterdam?
Yeah.
I was just there.
Which, by the way, number 3 on the list.
Okay, I had a layover there when I went to Scotland a few weeks ago. It's one of the best airports.
Really?
It's huge. It's beautiful. You can actually leave the airport. There's an outdoor area where you can go, and they have the big sign that says, I am Amsterdam, you see in the commercial. Yeah. They have outdoor vendors, little food trucks. It's really a nice airport.
Now, you were in Heathrow as well.
Heathrow is number one.
Well, Heathrow's got a lot of things to do.
Yes.
But the layout's stupid.
It is stupid.
You can get lost in Heathrow. You can spend more time getting out of Heathrow Airport than you do getting in out of London.
You know, they have signs all throughout Heathrow, depending on what store you're in. And they have high-end stores there. Yeah. Hermes, you know, Armani, beautiful stores. Whatever store you're in, you can look up and see how long of a walk it is to your gate.
Yeah.
So it'll say a 30-minute walk if you're at gate A10.
What about Helsinki? You been there?
No, I've never been there.
Okay. Hong Kong?
No.
You said Amsterdam. Incheon in South Korea?
No, I haven't been
Singapore?
To the Middle East. No.
Singapore, don't they hit you with the, if you're late for your flight, don't they take out those bamboo reeds and whack you? Cane you?
They don't cane you, Steve.
By the way, those are the best airports for sleeping. The worst for sleeping, I don't even know where this is, Bergamo Oreo at El Serio. I don't know where that is. It sounds like it's in a mountain somewhere.
I wouldn't even go there, let alone sleep in
the airport. Christchurch in New Zealand. Oh, you know why? Because in New Zealand, I think I'm right about this. You literally land like a rocket, like you come in over the mountains and you just go straight into the airport.
You land.
Keflavik in Iceland. Listen, if you're going to Iceland, you're obviously involved in something illegal.
There's some countries that have so much security there. This is going to sound weird to say, but I wouldn't want to sleep there. It's just scary when you see I'm walking around with machine guns.
Sure. Berlin, Tegel, it's a local airport in Berlin.
No.
And Eindhoven in the Netherlands. So there you go. That's your napping around the world segment. Kevin, has that been sponsored yet by our sales department, napping around the world?
They're working on it right now.
All right. Let me know if that comes
Kevin's
through.
Napping in the studio.
Orion should know that the best because he naps everywhere.
Yeah, but he just takes Air Orion. He doesn't really hang out.
And he sleeps anywhere he wants.
A few other places. Yeah,
he sleeps anywhere he wants.
He does.